सवै भागवतो राजा
सवै भागवतो राजा
मानवे यो महारथः
मानवे यो महारथः
बालक्रीडनकैः क्रीडन् कृष्णक्रीडां य आददे
कृष्णक्रीडां य आददे
Translation and purport by His Divine Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity, Papa. In the Bhagavad Gita 6.41, it is stated that even a person who has failed in the proper discharge of yoga practice is given a chance to take birth in the house of a devout brahmanas or in the houses of rich men like kshatriya kings or rich merchants. But Maharaj Parikshit was more than that because he had been a great devotee of the Lord since his previous birth. And as such, he took his birth in an imperial family of the Kurus. And especially that the Pandavas. So from the very beginning of his childhood, he had the chance to know intimately the devotional service of Lord Krishna in his own family. The Pandavas, all being devotees of the Lord, certainly venerated family deities in the royal palace for worship. Children who appear in such families fortunately generally imitate such worship of the deity even in the way of childhood play. By the grace of Lord Krishna, we had the chance of being born in a Vaishnava family, and in our childhood we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions such as the Ratayatra and Dolayatra ceremonies. And he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspirations from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhana Hill. The life history of many such devotees is almost the same because there is always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, for he used to imitate the pastimes with his young playmates. According to Sridhar Swami, Maharaj Parikshit used to imitate the worship of the family deity by elderly members. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also confirms the viewpoint of Jiva Goswami. So accepting either of them, Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above mentioned activities and all of them established his great devotion from very childhood, a symptom of a Mahabhagavata. Such a Mahabhagavatas are called Nitya Siddhas, or souls liberated from birth. But there are also others who may not be liberated from birth, but who develop a tendency for devotional service by association, and they are called sadhana siddhas. There is no difference between the two in the ultimate issue, and so the conclusion is that everyone can become a sadhana siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with a pure devotee. The concrete example is our great spiritual master Sri Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was simply a boy of a maid servant, but through association with great devotees, he became a devotee of the Lord, of his own standard, unique in the history of devotional service.
All right. So, I'm going to verse 16, Canto 2. Chapter 3, verse 16. Where am I? Here's it. Vyasakis cha bhagavan vasudeva parayana ugaya gunodara Satang Syur Hi Samagamam. Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, was also full in transcendental knowledge and was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, son of Vasudeva. So there must have been discussion of Lord Krishna, who is glorified by great philosophers and in the company of great devotees. Purport. The word satam is very important in this verse. Satam means the pure devotees who have no other desire than to serve the Lord. Only in the association of such devotees are the transcendental glories of Lord Krishna properly discussed. It is said by the Lord that his topics are all full of spiritual significance, and once one properly hears about him in the association of the satam, certainly one senses the great potency and so automatically attains to the devotional stage of life. Which verse is that? Shraddharatya bhaktir anukramishyati. Yes, this word satam appears in this verse and is also, that we're reading today, and is also the first word of the well-known verse. That's a different word. Satata means always. Satam means here, means the sat, sadhus. So this is Srila Prabhupada, as he often does in his purport, without actually giving the verse, he paraphrases it. So that's a well-known verse. I mean, among the devotees who read Srila Prabhupada's books, it's well-known because he quotes this often, and those who listen to his lectures. And among Vaishnavas in general, who study, among students of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavas. It's an oft-quoted verse. As already described, Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of the Lord from his very birth, and so was Shukadeva Goswami. Both of them were on the same level, although it appeared that Maharaj Parikshit was a great king accustomed to royal facilities, whereas Shukadeva Goswami was a typical renouncer of the world, so much so that he did not even put a cloth on his body. Yeah, that's somewhat atypical. Not every renouncer of the world doesn't even put cloth on his body. But he was a typical renouncer of the world, and he had no material attachments or possessions, and atypical or unusual in the matter that he didn't even have cloth on his body. Although many renunciants go naked, but the great majority wear some clothes. Superficially, Maharaja Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami might seem to be opposites, but basically they were both unalloyed pure devotees of the Lord. When such devotees are assembled together, then there can be no topic save discussions of the glories of the Lord or bhakti yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita also, when there were talks between the Lord and his devotee, Arjuna, there could not be any topic other than bhakti yoga, however the mundane scholars may speculate on it in their own ways. The use of the word cha after vyasakihi suggests, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, that both Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaja Parikshit were of the same category. Settled long before, although one was playing the part of the master and the other the disciple, since Lord Krishna is the center of all the topics. The word Vasudeva Parayanaha, or devotee of Vasudeva, suggests devotee of Lord Krishna, the common aim. Although there were many others who assembled at the place where Maharaja Parikshit was fasting, the natural conclusion is that there was no topic other than the glorification of Lord Krishna. Because the principal speaker was Shukadeva Goswami and the chief audience was Maharaja Parikshit. So Srimad Bhagavatam, as it was spoken and heard by two principal devotees of the Lord, is only for the glorification of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Vyasakischa Bhagavan Vasudeva Parayanaha. Parayanaha. Is it? Long A. No, Vasudeva Parayanaha. Oh. Ugaya Gunodara Satansyur Hi Samagame. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Yilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Sarishtham Manamapi Shakti Putra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasyaga Jamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Yatosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Shriyatah Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavans Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Cha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this purport, the first topic broached is the importance of association with devotees. Where there are devotees, there should be discussion of Krishna. Where there is discussion of Krishna, everything is going to be auspicious. Even those who discuss Krishna in a non-devotional manner are benefited. For instance, approximately 1974, I'm not sure if it was 1974. In Germany, there was a lot of propaganda in the newspapers that Hare Krishna devotees are cheats, liars, thieves, kidnappers, murderers, etc. And this propaganda went on and on and on for months together. When this was brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention, he said, it's very good, because every day they see in the newspaper Krishna, they're thinking of Krishna. So there is benefit there. Even Mayavadis, who we're told not to hear from Mayavadis, or non-devotees in general, Avaishnavam okhud girnam putam hari katam ritam shravana naiva kartavyam sarpo chishtayata payam. Hearing the nectar of Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, from non-devotees is like taking milk touched by the lips of a serpent, which is poisonous. So this is the example given. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, and I don't have a reference for this, I'll tell you why, because in the early days of the movement, before internet, and even the standard of technological development at that time was astonishing compared to what had come before it, but compared to what is there today, it appears very primitive. So there used to be When I joined the movement, there used to be sheets, photocopied sheets of paper which would circulate around with the thing, with statements of things that Srila Prabhupada had said on them. And I didn't keep it. And there are many things which, many important instructions which appear to have been lost in course of time. I just read in this compilation of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on Varnashram that Himavati Devi Jasi had said that she heard a devotee say to Srila Prabhupada that, well, your books are most important. And Prabhupada said, no, many of the things which I say which are not in my books, they're also important. Now, and this anecdote was cited to counteract the well-known saying of Srila Prabhupada, offered as another perspective from the well-known quotation in which Srila Prabhupada said that someone had said to Srila Prabhupada, well, someone told me that you had said this. And Prabhupada said, there are so many Prabhupada says. If it's not in my books, don't believe it. So that was said in counteraction to that. However, that's also what Prabhupada said. Himavati said that Prabhupada said this, but we don't know, although it sounds quite possible. Anyway, on this sheet of paper, there was a question had been put to Srila Prabhupada that the Mayavadis, by chanting the name of Krishna, do they get any benefit? And Srila Prabhupada said that they'll have to suffer for their offenses, but having suffered for their offenses, they'll still get some benefit. So sometimes it may appear that there are contradictory indications because Ashadu Sange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hoi Krishna Nam Bahire Bhate Tabu Nama Kabunai. The actual name is not pronounced if one is not in the association of devotees. If one is hearing from non-devotees, then it may sound like the name, but it's not actually Krishna. So there may be some contradictory indications. That question was also asked by Divya Prem Prabhu, wasn't it? Similar thing, that these non-devotees, Mayavadis, demons, and they take Krishna's names and call themselves avatar, just like in Tamil Nadu, there was Kalki Avatar, came up recently, so-called Kalki Avatar. He was working in an LIC office, Life Insurance Corporation Office of India, and then around the age of 44 or so, he suddenly declared himself or realized himself to be Kalki Avatar. I don't know what happened to him. I think he went into hibernation. He's still around somewhere. Not. He's a retired incarnation. His wife has become more prominent. His wife is what?
Padmavati Daya.
Padmavati Daya. Taya, Taya. He's still going on, but you don't hear much. There are more popular rascals floating around. Never really hit the big time. Looked like he was going to, but never really made it. But anyway, he's promoted the name of Kalki. So indirectly, there may be some benefit from that. What other ones are there? Ramakrishna. Actually, his name was Gadadha Chattopadhyay. But then some people decided to call him Ramakrishna, having decided by vote, it's a very good system of ascertaining spiritual reality, that he was First there was Ram, then there was Krishna, and then there was Gadadha Chattopadhyay, who they called Ramakrishna. So it's a very good name, and still a common name. All over India, there are people called Ramakrishna. One of the very best names you could possibly think of. But misapplied in the case of that person. But still, it's a very good name. Anyway, the point is that in the association of devotees, the benefit of hearing about Krishna will be better than if you hear from non-devotees. There's so many people who are attracted to Bhagavad Gita, but they're not attracted to Krishna, which is very strange. How are they attracted to Gita, but not to Krishna? They like all these... They're attracted to be good. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara sarvatukha sukha kshami. They like these descriptions of being good, of being spiritual, but they never really... So you could say they're different kinds of people. I mean, they may have some saintly... Some people have a saintly inclination, but they're not attracted to Krishna. So it's a mixture of good and bad. And some are just out and out rogues, like this so-called Kalki Bhagavan. I was told that this was a few years ago. It's 2 minute darshan, 1 lakh rupees. You told me that, was it? Yeah. That Oh My God film, and you haven't heard of that because it's a Hindi film. It shows the sadhu steps on the... He puts his footprint on some cloth and someone comes behind and puts the price tag, 1.5 lakh rupees. To get that footprint of him. So, it's like colored footprint, like this. So, this is all cheating. But in the association of real devotees, then there must be talk of Krishna, and in a way that is very pleasing. Bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kataha. It's very pleasing to the mind and the heart and the ear. They're all pleased by these rasayana. I mean, rasayana is it's a tonic. The simple word is tonic. If you're already healthy, it makes you more healthy. So hearing about Krishna should be an association duty. That's always recommended. So in this verse, good association is recommended, as always, throughout Shastra. Tulayama lavena api. What is that verse? Tulayama lavena api. Naswargam apuna bhavam. Bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimushashitaha. This verse appears twice in Bhagavatam. Yes, a few verses. Some verses, not many. Actually, in the 12th canto, there are many verses which, toward the end, which are the same as verses much earlier, mostly from the first canto, but just with a little bit different. But this verse appears exactly as it is twice. So the purport is that a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared, even with going to heaven, or getting liberation, which presumes impersonal liberation. And what to speak of the kind of benedictions that are available in this world of death, in this earthly planet. It's all ephemeral, everything. Ephemeral means like that. Kshanik, I don't know how you say it in Sanskrit, but just momentary, or very lasting a very short time, temporary. Similarly, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastrika, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Same word is used, lava, tulayama, lavena api. It's It cannot be compared, even a moment. Lover, 1/11th of a section. 1/11th of a second. So, even 1/11th of a second's association with pure devotees, or devotees, sadhu, all these scriptures state that one can achieve all perfection. So, association with devotees is highly recommended as essential for advancement in devotional service. And contrarily, association with non-devotees is always forbidden or warned against. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked about what is the characteristic of a Vaishnava, he said, asat sanga tyag e Vaishnav acha. Stri sangi ek asadhu, Krishna bhakta a. You have to be careful how you pronounce that one. If you say Krishna bhakta, then it's the wrong name. Krishna abhakta becomes Krishna bhakta. Sometimes we hear devotees say that asat sanga tyag, the characteristic of a Vaishnava is that he gives up bad association. And two types, principal types of bad association are described. Stri sangi. Stri means, the common meaning is woman. But especially means stri, connected to the word the vistar. So one who expands one's material affairs by having children, and then what happens is griha, kshetra, sutapta, vitta, all these things. One has children, one needs a, well, first of all, one needs a home and some land, and then come children, relatives, money, all these things are required. So one's material field increases. This is stri. There's also another kind of stri who increases one's devotional activity. So that kind of stri is desirable. But generally stri, that stri sangi, that means one who associates with woman for the sake of sense enjoyment, one who is overly attached to women. So that is one asad, one type of bad association. And Krishna bhakta, the non-devotee of Krishna, which is especially, Srila Prabhupada explains this, Mayavadi. So there are many verses which promote the association with devotees, giving up the association of non-devotees, this Karmi, Jnani, Michha Bhakta, Nahabetate Anurakta. This Narottam Das also sings. He enumerates the types of non-devotees. Karmis means materialistic people, just working with no spiritual goal in mind. Jnani, people who are spiritually interested but think they're going to achieve their spiritual success simply by amassing knowledge and by their intellectual prowess, they're going to make spiritual advancement. And also mitha bhakta, which means a false devotee. So we have to be very careful. Narottam Das says we should not be attached to such persons. We should be attached to Shukdev, the ultimate renunciant. He didn't even want to come out of the womb. When he came out of the womb, he left. Or Parikshit Maharaj. The Karmis may be attached to Parikshit Maharaj, thinking we want to be like him. He's very opulent, powerful, successful. And the renunciants might think we want to be like Shukadeva Goswami. He's so renounced. But the devotees,
They think we'd like to be like either of them because they're devotees, not because one is greatly opulent and the other is greatly renounced. That is not the meeting of Parikshit and Shukadev demonstrates the point that bhakti is not dependent on one's external situation. Maybe one may be apparently a great enjoyer of the world, one may be apparently a great renouncer of the world, but one has to see whether one is a great devotee of Krishna. Of course, Parikshit at this point, he's also a renouncer because he left everything to come and hear about Krishna. So a bad association, this should be avoided. Now you may think, well, how can we give up bad association? The whole world is full of materialistic people, non-devotees. Well, one answer is you can go to Manasa Sarovar in the Himalayas. It's in Tibet, actually. You might get arrested by the Chinese army. Find a cave in the Himalayas. That way you can avoid bad association. You think you can avoid bad association? Well, wherever you go, your mind goes with you. So, I'm not you, but I'll just be alone with my mind and no devotees for me. Very dangerous situation. The world is full of non-devotees and we're enjoined to preach, which means we have to move among different people. So how do we give up bad association? That means we should interact with non-devotees only as much as is required for the sake of... someone may come and they're putting in... I don't know, some workers are coming and building and you may talk with them about the building. But you don't get involved in the activities. You don't take the association. You don't become close friends with them. You may do be friendly with them from the position of a devotee. Give them prasadam, invite them to come to our programs. So it doesn't mean that we're cold, we can be friendly with people for the sake of giving Krishna consciousness to them. But we don't become intimately involved with non-devotees, which can be difficult for Grihastha devotees, who have their relatives and who expect them to interact as relatives. In the Western world, this isn't so much of an issue. In India, it very much is an issue, and in still most of the world, people take very seriously their social life centers around their relatives, mostly. So it can be a difficult situation. So how to handle that? Well, you have to see in each case. You can preach to them. Sometimes whole families, three or sometimes even four generations, all become devotees. And then that's the vertical line, and then there's the horizontal line. Cousins, in-laws can try and preach. It doesn't always work. Sometimes they don't like it. Sometimes they're against it or they're just neutral. So in such a case, Srila Prabhupada recommends in one purport that one outwardly act as if one's an attached family person, but inwardly cultivate Krishna consciousness. So, but the difficulties, they're often, can be very difficult, very hard to overcome. I've seen several devotees, just young men coming to the temple for years, joining the Aritis, and then they get married and gradually they stop coming because the wife wants to watch TV, she wants to go to the cinema, and he has to choose. And they choose the wife, what she wants to do. So, it's a bad association. So, preaching means we go among non-devotees. But how do we not be affected by their association? Well, strong sadhana is required. One has to have absorption in hearing and chanting about Krishna. It often happens that we're so busy, there are always so many things to be done for spreading Krishna consciousness that we could, if there were 48 hours in the day, we could still find that we don't have enough time to do it. Because there are always things to do, especially when you're trying to develop a project like this. But if we're always busy and interacting with non-devotees, even for the sake of preaching, if we don't have sufficient sadhana, hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, then we become weak. And we become affected by that bad association. So we have to keep good association with the devotees, those who are sat. This word sat can be translated in many ways. We can say sincere, genuine, honest. So we should try to associate, especially we are enjoined to try to associate with those who are devotees who are on a higher level than us. That we can also do, always do, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. I personally had the experience in my youth when I was about the age of some of you that I was often in situations where I didn't get much association of devotees. So I read Srila Prabhupada, had good opportunity to take shelter of reading Srila Prabhupada's books and get the association of Srila Prabhupada in that way. Of course, apart from that, we should try to have association of devotees, personal, physical association. Of course, it's not really physical, it's spiritual, but means to be... association doesn't just mean to be physically present in the same place as devotees, but that physical presence is also important. We can't say that it's not important. And on the other hand, on the other side, there is giving up the association of non-devotees, especially the Mayavadis. We find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected his lifelong friend Mukunda because Mukunda had a habit of hanging out with Mayavadis. And Advaita Acharya, he didn't like being respected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to respect Advaita Acharya because Advaita was on the level of his father in terms of age. Advaita devised a plan how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stop respecting me. And he thought what to do. And then he started explaining the Yoga Vashishta, a Mayavadi work. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he went to Advaita's house and beat him. And Advaita thought, very nice. Now he stopped respecting me. So these are the unusual pastimes of Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of them have a very deep import. Yeah, the import is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't like Mayavad, so we should avoid Mayavadis. We find that when Srila Prabhupada first came to America, we first had to stay in the house of an Indian man who had become completely westernized. He's married to an American woman, although he gave his son an Indian name. I don't think he stopped being a Hindu, but to stop being a Hindu, you don't really have to do anything. You just have to think, I'm a Hindu. You don't have to do anything or believe anything. All you have to do is think, I am a Hindu. And whether it's garv sekaho ya sharam sekaho ya kisi bhi dharana sekaho, if you just say hum Hindu hai, and you're actually born in India and not with a white skin, then you're a bona fide Hindu. You got lost there. No? You could follow the Hindu? No. Anyway, never mind. It's nothing very spiritual. So, Prabhupada was staying there at home, they were eating meat. Prabhupada had to keep his bhoga in the same fridge as the meat was kept in. That's asat sangha. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wasn't affected by that. For practically anyone else to do that. Well, first of all, no one else would have done it. None of Prabhupada's grand brother would have done it. Srila Prabhupada did it. Then he came to New York, and Srila Prabhupada often visited the yoga studio of Dr. Mishra, who's a Mayavadi. And Prabhupada made friends with him. As Indians and sadhus, they were friends. Prabhupada would cook for him and Dr. Mishra arranged some facilities for him, and they would fight philosophically. And Prabhupada would shout at him, and then afterwards they'd just go on. Prabhupada didn't accept his philosophy, but he accepted him as some kind of friend. That's also described later when Srila Prabhupada had a stroke. One Swami came to visit him. He's in America. I think it says Chinmay someone. I don't know if it was such. Some Swami, it's described who it was. Was it Chinmay? There's Chinmay and Chinmayananda. They're different. Chinmayananda came. No, that was much later, Yogi Bhajan. That was different. I'm going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. Some Swami came to visit Prabhupada. There weren't many Swamis in America at that time. They're all Indians. Whichever Swamis were there were Indians. Nowadays there are all kinds of Swamis, Swaminis, and all kinds of things. Western, Indian, and all kinds. What do you do to be a Swami? What do? You just call yourself a Swami. That's all. That's how to become a Swami, in America at least. Ah, in India too. Why be a Swami? You can be God yourself. Swami has nothing to it. So he came to pay a social visit to Prabhupada, who was sick, which is a nice thing to do, to visit sick people. And Srila Prabhupada is very friendly with him. Doesn't mean he accepted his philosophy. Later, Srila Prabhupada, in meeting with Mayavadis, wasn't so very friendly. There's one instance at one Gita Sammelan in Varda, which is near to Nagpur, in which all Mayavadi, big Mayavadis were there, and I believe Vinoba Bhave was there, all kinds of people were there, and Prabhupada was just shouting at them. Why are you cheating people in the name of Bhagavad Gita? You're speaking Gita, but you don't accept Krishna as supreme. So Prabhupada was very strong with them. Later, I believe it was in Hawaii, Yogi Bhajan, Yogi Chinmayananda, they came to invite Srila Prabhupada to a World Peace Conference. And Prabhupada, in a kind of friendly way, just made fun of them, actually. Just treated them like fools, he said. He said, you can mark my word, there won't be any peace from your peace conference. Prabhupada refused to go. He said, unless you accept Krishna as supreme, it's all useless. So Srila Prabhupada didn't want to go to the peace conference. Then in 1977, March or April, and this was just before Srila Prabhupada practically retired altogether, some disciples of Chinmayananda and Shivananda came to Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. And they were respectful to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada was very strong with them. Very, very strong. And they were really trying to be very polite. But Prabhupada, he just wouldn't accept. He was very, very strong with them. And so he said, unless you want to hear, unless you accept what I have to say, don't come here. He was so strong. Then again, he was, shortly after that, he was in Haridwar. And Yogi Mahesh was there also, of the TM, who Prabhupada criticized like anything, transcendental meditation, so-called. Prabhupada was very, very, he'd have meetings every evening. Many of their followers would come, although this Yogi Mahesh, he banned his followers from coming after a few days. Srila Prabhupada is very, very strong with them. Just very, very strong. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't tolerate this Mayavad. He was very strong against that. Although sometimes we see in the early, in the beginning of Prabhupada's pastimes, from some social point of view, he tolerated them, or he was even friendly with them, superficially at least. At the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple in 1975, one of the important guests was Swami Akhandananda, who was a big Mayavadi sadhu. His ashram is right there on the Parikrama Marg. You've seen that every time you go just over the railway, when you cross the railway line. He's passed away now a long time ago. Prabhupada invited him, although privately he would criticize him, but he invited him as he was a famous Swami. So you might say that Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would, from some social point of view, he was friendly, but he never accepted their philosophy. Now, with ISKCON becoming more prominent, oh, there are so many examples. Sadhu Sammelan in Bombay, all the Mayavadis would be speaking at Chopati on the beach. And then at the end, Srila Prabhupada would just say that they're talking so many big things, but he just took one laddu and said, just by taking a little prasadam, we'll automatically get liberation. We'll just do kirtan. He didn't speak much. We'll do kirtan. And then all the influence of Mayavad is just see, Mayavad is seen to be dry and inconsequential compared to the spiritual power that comes from Srila Prabhupada and his disciples performing kirtan. Then another instance. Now it's in my mind, now it's gone. But there are so many instances of Srila Prabhupada combating the Mayavadis. So in our preaching, as ISKCON is widely considered to be part of Hinduism, although we don't philosophically accept that we're Hindus, but people tend to see us like that, and then we may be invited to speak on some platform with Mayavadi. Srila Prabhupada did in the early days of his preaching in India. He preached all his life in India, but when he first went back to India bringing Western disciples for the first time, the first time he just came with one. After going to America, Srila Prabhupada came back once, only with Kirtanananda. He came to recover from sickness. Then next time he came for preaching with a group of Western disciples. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes accept engagements with Mayavadis. Later, as his movement became established in its own right, then he would just have his own programs. So we may sometimes be invited, just like you're sometimes invited at the Golden Temple and in public functions, like for the whole city of Delhi. And you're invited. But they give you prominence. Isn't it what you've told me? Other people speak for a few minutes and they give you the major point to speak. So that's all right. If they give us proper respect, then that's all right. Not that we want respect, but we want to make it clear that Krishna's message, Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's message is not just the same as everyone else's. We have a clear and distinct message to give. Otherwise, the Mayavadis, I mean, I could write a Mayavadi speech myself. It's very easy. They just bring out words like love, peace, goodness, kindness, and put them all together. And there's nothing really much to say. It's all very vague. Whereas devotees have a clear, distinct, specific message, because that's the difference between devotees and Mayavadis. Devotees are distinct, savishesh, and Mayavadis are nirvishesh, nothing special to say, nothing in particular to say, just all vagueness. So, under certain circumstances, we may do, but we should be very careful, as Srila Prabhupada told us, not to become identified in the public eye as just part of the big world of sadhus in which they're all the same and they all say the same thing. And there's these sadhus and these are sadhus and it's all the same. No, our message is distinct. That we promote. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Supreme means it's not all one. And when we say supreme, that doesn't mean supreme among equals. Not that. Actually, all this, everything is one, but Krishna is a prominent manifestation of the illusory forms that emanate from the oneness. Ah! Something horrible that Mayavadis might say. Sorry for that, but I don't like to say things like that, but I'm just paraphrasing the kind of things that Mayavadis say. So, sorry for the unsadhu-like screeching in the middle of the class. So Krishna is categorically different from everyone else and everything else. And Krishna's devotees, they're also categorically different. Not the same. Just like Shukadeva and Parikshit. They're mentioned here. There were many other people present when Parikshit was there. But these two, I mean, you don't hear about the others. There were so many big sadhus present. And big shots, you know, Gautam, Angiras, all big, big shots. Bharadvaj, I don't remember. So many big, big sadhus were present there. But apart from saying that they came, there's no mention of them throughout the rest of the Bhagavatam. They didn't interject. They didn't offer their opinions. They didn't ask questions. The whole discourse was going on between Shukadeva and Parikshit. And the others were just there. That's all. At least they were polite enough to know their position. Even though Parikshit appeared to be a worldly enjoyer who had just renounced, whereas some of them had been renounced for literally thousands and millions of years, and whereas Shukadeva just appeared to be a young boy, the others, they sat quietly and listened. The discourse was going on between Shukadeva and Parikshit. So, the others, they're certainly respectable. And we may respect certain sadhus also, but we don't give them much importance. We give importance to Shukdev, Parikshit, Srila Prabhupada, all the great devotees. And we don't associate either. We may respect different sadhus. Some are respectable and some are not very respectable at all. Most of the prominent sadhus in India today, actually they're not. If you see, they're not respectable. I mean, let me just say this. There was, from Tiruvannamalai, this so-called Paramahamsa, who was just shown to be can't control his senses. Maybe he had some good intentions, but he should have taken a guru instead of trying to be a guru. Isn't it? He couldn't control his senses. It's all right, the fly has gone away now. But still he wants to represent himself as a sadhu. And then you have this Actually, a lot of them based in Bangalore, aren't there? There's so many. There's Tiruvannamalai and Bangalore. Their ashrams are in Tiruvannamalai and they earn money in Bangalore and spend the summer in Bangalore probably. And Vellore is like bang slap in the middle of the two, right? So, we should preach against all these rascals. We're building this temple, is being built here, and people think, oh, it's another nice temple, we'll come and visit. But they should hear something different here. They should get something different here. There, you may say, why are you building a temple? There are already so many temples, especially Tamil Nadu. In any state in India which doesn't need more temples, it's Tamil Nadu. So many temples, but they're mostly dark, dirty, not well maintained. Of course, you can blame the government of Tamil Nadu for that, because they're supposed to be in charge. That's one cause. But our temples are meant for giving bhakti, for practicing bhakti and giving bhakti. There's a difference. Mostly temples, they're just people go and take darshan and prasad and that is it, finished. Nothing more to do. Sometimes there are festivals, Brahmotsavams or something like this. But they have no idea that they can participate in the activities, they can hear a discourse and be benefited, they can take part in the activities, they have no idea. So, while building this temple, we have to think that our main aim, of course, building the temple is to glorify Krishna. But we have to build up people. That's the idea. We're collecting money. All right, but we want to collect people and then you collect money and build a temple. We want to collect people and build them up in bhakti, so that they can become the actual attractive feature. The temple should be very attractive, but the real attractive... See, that however attractive the temple is, people won't be so much inspired unless the atmosphere there, which is created by devotees who are fully in Krishna consciousness, wanting to give Krishna consciousness to others, that atmosphere will... attract people. And when people come and they realize, oh yeah, they're interested in me, not just interested in my money. And people will appreciate that and they'll want to become devoted. I heard how these Christians are making so much conversions. They find out someone's died and then they go and comfort them, help them with the funeral, this, that, and they have all kinds of ways. Of course, it's a big business. They're making money, but they make a show of helping people and being concerned for them. This way, they make converts, which is not very good for the converts in the long run, because they're going to have to suffer because to be accepted as a bona fide Christian and to get the payment that you get for conversion, and the person who converts you also gets a payment, then you have to do things like stamping on the pictures of Hindu gods, just to show that you're serious about it, and you're not doing it just to get the money. So, it's not good for them. So, let's try to bring people to Krishna consciousness. We can only do that if we are Krishna conscious ourselves. So let us do that. Let us avoid the temptations that Maya will place before us. We, having taken to Krishna consciousness, dressed as sadhus, we may find that we have access to people that previously we wouldn't have access to. Big, rich, prominent people. As a sadhu, you can go and meet. Maybe not the chief minister, but important people. And we can become intoxicated by that, but we should always remember that we are the most insignificant servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas who are all serving Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas and Shukadeva and Parikshit and ultimately Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should keep good association, avoid bad association. Shatsanga chari kwenu ashate bilash te karne lagilo mo karma banda fash. This is Srila Prabhupada. That's another quotation from Narottam Das. Srila Prabhupada used to quote often that giving up good association, I've enjoyed myself, so-called enjoyed myself, in bad association. And as a result, the noose, fas, you know this, they're hanging you, the noose of karma bandha has become affixed around my neck. Karma bandha, the bondage of material action. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Question, comment? Anything? Seems to be a very complex question.
He also asked the same thing, what we have said. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and the people want Bhagavad Gita, and they didn't want Krishna. Yeah. He also asked how they are able to do that.
How is it that people are attracted to Bhagavad Gita but not to Krishna? Well, much of what Krishna speaks is similar to what's in the Upanishads. Gita is also called Gita Upanishad. And much of the Gita practically echoes almost the same words as the statements in the Upanishads. So much of the Upanishads, they appeal to people who are spiritually minded, but in an impersonal way. So we find, just like the Tat Tvam Asi, that section, that if you take it at its face value, it appears to be establishing impersonality, impersonal Brahman as supreme. Then there's that section, what is that? Kasmin vigyate bhavati sarvam vigyatam eva bhavati. What is that subject by knowing which there remains nothing else to be known? And the answer is given in... the answer is not given Krishna. The answer is given... it's given in a very impersonal kind of way. So people are attracted to... and a lot of what Krishna speaks, it could be taken that way also. However, somehow or other the impersonalists, they seem to miss many shlokas such as Yo mameva samuro janati purushottamam sa sarva vidbhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. That one who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, knows everything, which puts the Upanishads into context. That the ultimate object of knowledge is Krishna. There are many, many such verses. So the impersonalists are attracted to Gita because much of it, if you take it out of context, is very similar to what they're already used to. But then they have to make grotesque mistranslations or grotesquely misunderstand much of the Gita, in which Krishna brings the Upanishads to their conclusion, which is Vedaischa Sarvairahameva Veda. All the Vedas, Krishna is to be known. There are many, many such verses which establish such points. So they make, as I say, grotesque mistranslation. That when Krishna says aham, they translate that to mean aham meaning I. I don't know how to say it. I who represent the totality of everything. This kind of, just nonsensical misinterpretation. So, Bhagavad Gita is Gita Gyan, it's knowledge, so people are attracted to knowledge, but they don't see somehow there. Nahang prakarsha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita murho yang nabhijanati loko mama jamabhyayam. Krishna says right there in Bhagavad Gita that I'm not manifest to everyone, and their reading of Bhagavad Gita exemplifies this statement. They miss the whole point. Yeah.
People actually sometimes, after reading Bhagavad Gita, people glorify Vishnu and Narayana also.
So, after reading Bhagavad Gita, people glorify Vishnu because they think that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu.
What is their state like?
What is their state of people who think like that? They're devotees. There's no harm to be a devotee of Vishnu and to think, it's not offensive to think that Krishna is a manifestation of Vishnu. We don't say they're offenders. We're not fighting with them. It's as far as actually they're right in one sense. If you see from the perspective of Aishwarya, then Vishnu is supreme. If you see from the, or if you feel from the perspective of Prem, then Krishna, he is Rasaraja. So in one sense it's true, Narayan is supreme because he's showing so much opulence. If that's what you're attracted to, it's in one, the supreme is in one sense subjective. I mean, every mother thinks that her baby is supreme. In all the world, there's no baby better than mine or more important than mine. And every little baby thinks my mother is supreme. It's not objective, it's subjective. So if you think that Vishnu is supreme and Krishna is a manifestation of Vishnu, it's not exactly wrong. There's room to move at the top. Some they see Vamana as supreme. Some see Varaha as supreme. We're not going to say that. That's their attitude in relation to Krishna. We don't want to disturb them. We're not going to go to Hanuman and say, "Hey, you missed everything. You should go and be a gopi." Hanuman, he won't fit in the Rasleela. What's he going to do in the Rasleela? He doesn't belong there at all. For Hanuman, it's Srinate Janaki Nate Chabheda Paramatmane. What's the next line then? Chabuma Tasmat Mamasarava Swam Rama Kamala Lochana. He says, I know that the husband of Lakshmi and the husband of Janaki, they're the same personality of Godhead. But as far as I'm concerned, my life and soul is lotus-eyed Rama. So, we're not going to argue with him.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful. Be careful. We shouldn't. It's not an important part of our program to try and convince the Mayavadis. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, but after he converted everyone else. Shabaya Rayalo Matro Kashya Mayavadi. Everyone is converted except the Mayavadis of Varanasi. They're very tough. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Otherwise, we don't expect to convert them. We can try for others who are not so badly affected. Mayavadis, they want to have friendship, they want to help, but their philosophy is really poisonous.
Coming to that point, he's got a double personality, he is not directly, but somebody else. Because he has been only coming to Lakshmi. People, even little manners, how to say, only if Lakshmi has to be installed on Krishna only, not separately. So you got a little come for Krishna. Then to somebody else, they made a proposal that he must have. They want to build a temple of silver for Krishna.
A temple of what?
Silver for Krishna.
Gold, they have golden temple for Lakshmi and they want to make a silver temple for Narayana.
We know two programs and spiritual things is not as to take care.
But we don't worship Narayana separately from Lakshmi or Lakshmi separately from Narayana.
No,
we can't do programs with them because their understanding is crippled.
And he also wants to help those others. He has already helped everything to some extent. Definitely, when his parents were real Sri Vaishnavas. But even Sri Vaishnavas tell them that he became a Vaishnava. But when that point comes, he can then. But actually, he's very sweet and he's.
Well, that's the thing. Mayavadis are often very nice with us, but that doesn't mean we should be nice with them. Because their idea is to be nice with everyone. Actually, we are nice with them, but in a different way. A different way means we have to tell their philosophy is misleading. They have respect for Prabhupada for establishing Hinduism all over the world. They don't know how to respect him properly. So we should be very careful. Just like this Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, he praised Prabhupada as an example of someone who in old age established something. Using Srila Prabhupada as an example to try to inspire old people to do something materialistically or whatever, something big with their life. It's just completely missing the point that Srila Prabhupada, he established pure devotional service. That he did it in his apparent old age, that's noteworthy. But the fact that he did it in old age, what did he do? It's not just, he would have praised Prabhupada if he had built a golden temple in his old age or whatever. He came from nothing, from an unknown position to a prominent position in old age. And people say, Ravi Shankar praised, oh, how good. We should be very careful. I know in our movement nowadays there's an increasing tendency to make friends with Mayavadis, even invite them to conferences and all that. They used to come to Prabhupada and Prabhupada would refuse to go to their conferences. And now we're going to them and asking them, what happened? Why? Isn't that an insult to Prabhupada to do that? Isn't that belittling Prabhupada's position? We should have nothing to do with these people. We can respect Vaishnavas, Sri Vaishnavas, Madhva Vaishnavas, And even socially, like Prabhupada invited that Akhandananda, but he didn't have him speak at his program. He invited him as a prominent figure in the town of Vrindavan. That's all. He didn't have him speak.
That's what I told Murali. Yes, but this Murali Goswami, he does programs in all the towns in Tamil Nadu. And he gives lectures, but he tells his program organizers, in which discount you have to do Kirtan. Then only the program last pieces.
He wants as if we are his chalas.
We are in the program, the army's came here, and we some party duties, 3-4 years back, there, and I put Prabhupada's for top of the stage, and they refused. They told me, you can't do that. I told you, we are not ready to participate in the program, just feel left.
That's correct.
I just spoken that I told we will also speak. We just will not do Kirtan. We will also speak for 10-15 minutes. Then only we are here. Then even the dead one are alive, the mic has spoke for 5 minutes. If people are praising him and he is propagating now, seeing it now, only in Tamil Nadu. If people are not going to accept Srila Prabhupada, who has propagated the same thing throughout the whole world.
Now, this Murlida is going around the world too. I got an email from Berkeley that he wanted to speak in our ISKCON temple. Do you know anything about him? They asked me. I said, don't call him. Because he'll take photos and show. You see, this is my temple in California. Just cheating. That's all. Then how is he a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is not trying to promote himself as being something very great, especially not trying to take the credit away from someone who actually did the work.